And sisters, I'm going to press on very quickly this morning, and just to let you know that in further detail, we'll be looking at things this evening, but this morning I want to talk briefly then about the strength of commitment. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about commitment and the power of commitment. Come straight away with me into the Word as we have a look at the Great Commission, and we have a look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Let's look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It says this, "Therefore, go." It's not a suggestion. It's not, therefore, if you've got a chance someday, it would be nice. No. This is a strong commitment. Therefore, go. Now, this is what the Word is teaching us. And I want to ask each one of us here a question this morning. I want to ask the question, how seriously do we take the commitment? And how seriously have we responded thus far in our lives to this commitment? Because this is very clear. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. You know, I'm so happy to have different nations in the church. It just blesses me. I just get thrilled to have different nations in the church. I love the fact we have people from Venezuela in the church.
Yay!
People from Mexico.
Yay.
Canada.
America.
Where's Abraham? Abraham's Canada. And my darling Canada. Wales.
Yay.
England. Chile. Chile. And just come back. And Raj Desi, just come back from India. Isn't this something? Ireland. Isn't this something? Philippines. Germany.
Austria.
Where? Someone else say something?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe. Wigan. That's a foreign country to most of us. But isn't it beautiful? I'm so happy. It just thrills me. When I was a young minister studying, I remember I was in a place called Kensington Temple in London, and there was a Welsh minister there who was a friend of mine, and he was a dear man, and he said, well, when he started in the church in Kensington Temple, he said all he saw was empty pews, just empty everywhere. But he said he looked with the eyes of faith, and he saw it full. He could see it full. And he saw it with all the nations under heaven filling that church. And Kensington Temple was a church just like that. When he told me that, I knew that that was for me. I knew that I'd see empty pews and they wouldn't bother me because I knew that they'd be full one day. And I knew that it'd be full of people from all over the world. And I just know that that's the truth, and it thrills me because it's a response to the gospel. It's what we see in the gospel. And I want to just, in the little time that we have this morning, I just want to share from my heart what I sense the Lord's been saying. You know, I used to enjoy going out in the street, and I would evangelize in the street, and I have led many, many people into a prayer for their salvation on the streets. Many, many times. And I find it quite easy. You get talking to someone, you say, you know, for those who think that they're self-righteous. What you do is you say, well, so what would happen if you met God now? They'd say, well, I hope I go to heaven. And you say to them, well, the Bible says that, you know, there's qualifications. And they say, well, I'm a good person. And so then I'd say to them, I'd say, well, you're a good person. Okay, well, have you ever stolen anything? Just anything, just a small thing even. I tell you, 9 times out of 10, they say yes. And I say, well, what does that make you? They say, a thief. I say, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Just once. I say, well, 9 times out of 10, again, they say yes. Probably they have. I say, what does that make you? They're not sure. I say, that makes you a blasphemer. I say, have you ever told a lie? 10 times out of 10, unless they're lying, they say yes. I said, what does that make you? They say, a liar. I say, so by your own admission, you're a thieving, blaspheming liar. Now let's re-examine the question. Are you good before God? And at that point they say no. And I say, now do you see that you need a savior, Jesus, who died for your sins? Very often they would say yes, and I'd lead them in a prayer of salvation, which was thrilling, and I'd enjoy it. And I think that there's a place for that. There's definitely a place for that. But the challenge to me is, this doesn't say that. And I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. But I still think there's a place for it. But what I find in the Bible, it's a deeper thing. What I find is, the challenge and the commission from Jesus that we should go and make disciples. Well, what's a disciple? The clue is in the word, isn't it? Disciple, someone who has discipline. Well, how do you become a disciple then? Because you see, it's one thing to say, I follow and I believe in Jesus. The demons believe in Jesus and they shudder. But they believe, they know Jesus is there and they shudder. So what is it to be a disciple? Well, a disciple is someone who has made a quality decision to follow Jesus. Now that's a quality decision to follow Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean this. It's a decision that you don't easily turn away from. It's a decision of quality. It says, I am a disciple of Jesus. That means that first and foremost in my life is my relationship to God. Now, I love my beautiful wife. I love that woman very, very much. But I love God first. And he's first place. And if he wasn't, that would jeopardize my ability to love my wife as I should. And I know she loves me. But vice versa, I know that she loves the Lord first. Now this, we're in the realms of a quality decision. You know, after I left singing and I knew that I was called to preach, I knew that I needed to respond. I had the call to preach and I left that whole singing thing and involved in that stuff, and I just knew I had to get a establish myself so that I could go to prayer meetings in the evening and I could follow regular hours. If you're involved in singing and things, you're up all night and your hours are shifted around. I knew that that was no good for me to really be for use in the church. So it was a quality decision to say, no, my service to the Lord comes first. And I was undergoing training, and so I needed I shifted everything in order to follow this path. And when I followed that path, after a couple of years, I was offered a job, which was a very high-paid job. Six-figure-some job. And the problem was, if I took the job, I wouldn't be able to attend the midweek prayer meeting. But it's a six-figure job. Six figures. But I would miss the midweek prayer meeting. And I'd also have, it would pull me away from the other things that are going on in my commitment to the church, my ability to really spend time doing the church things. For me, the quality decision meant that I couldn't take that. But you know, I've never regretted it. That was a really wise decision. No to the money, yes to God. You see? Sometimes the enemy puts something very attractive and very understandable in place to get you off the right path. And you'll find all the reasons in the world not to do what God has called you to do. I mean, I'm spiritualizing it by saying it's the enemy. Sometimes it's just us not being disciplined. But once you've made the decision, it's an easy thing to do. It wasn't too hard for me to make that decision at all. It was very easy. All I had to do was process what it would be like if I took that work, and the commitment level I'd be under to that work was such that there was no way that I could be as committed then to the Lord and to the work of the church. So it was an easy decision. But what makes it an easy decision is a decision of quality for the things of God. Now, I'm saying this today. I believe that people here this morning need to make decisions of quality for the things of God. Am I coming through this morning? Decisions of quality for the things of God. Saying to God, Lord, I want you, I want your will in my life. And I'm going to make a quality decision to that. Help me, Lord, I need your grace to follow that through. And to stick close to him. Being in the word, worshiping, praying. But that's my quality decision. And in that way, I become a disciple. A disciple is a person who has discipline. You notice the illustrations that the Apostle Paul gives to us who are followers of Jesus. He calls us soldiers in God's army. He calls us fighters who are fighting the good fight of faith. Well, you don't see a fighter, for example, you know, they had a world championship boxing match and the chap sitting in the corner and, you know, the bell rings for the next round. And he says, oh, thanks, but I'm absolutely exhausted. That last round really took it out of me. Look, why don't I just have a rest for 3 minutes and then I'll come back perhaps in the next. I'll skip this round. I'm exhausted. It doesn't work like that, does it? At least I don't think it does. We have an ABA boxer here. But I don't think that would work, would it? It wouldn't work. Once the bell rings, the fight is on. Well, the scriptures tell us, look, the fight is now on. Once you give your life to Jesus, once you say, I am his, I am following Jesus with my life, that's it, the fight's on, the bell has rung. It doesn't stop. Now, we have rest in the Lord, but not rest from that fight. The only way we can be who God has called us to be and do what he's called us to do is to be people who have made a quality decision. I am putting God first place in my life. I promise you this, if you put God first place in your life with a quality decision, you will never regret it. See, he gives us very clear instructions on these things. He says, whoever wants to find life must lose his life first. If you really want to find life, you've got to lose your life. And whoever tries to find their life, you know, it's become popular to have what they call a bucket list of things that people want to do before they die. Well, those people are trying to find life. They're desperately going around trying to find things that they want to do. You know, I want to enjoy myself. I'm going to try and grab every bit of enjoyment that I can before I leave planet Earth. Because what's happened is they've made enjoyment the pinnacle of their lives. But the scriptures teach us that enjoyment shouldn't be the pinnacle of our lives. The world out there has nothing but enjoyment to offer. It has nothing but enjoyment to pull people its way. What the scriptures have is eternal life. An abundant life here on planet Earth, life with Jesus. Were you happy singing this morning? I was happy singing this morning. I was happy coming this morning. I'm happy. I'm a happy man. But I'm happy because Jesus has made me happy. You know? And yielding to Jesus makes you happy and joy. It's a deeper thing than just happy. Happy is nice, but there's a deep joy. And so what I'm saying is this. We need to shun the world. We need to shun the offerings that come from a secular society. And we need to yield instead to what the scriptures call the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus has called us to do. We're to go and make disciples. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to be disciples ourselves. He is talking to those who are disciples, who have employed discipline. What is it to employ discipline? Well, it means that, you know, you're disciplined in your life. You have a regime that you have employed to help you live a disciplined life. A soldier in the army is another thing that the scriptures mention. We are soldiers for Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, a soldier in the army. We have an ex-soldier here, at least one. I think there's a couple. You know, a soldier in the army. When the sergeant shouts, you know, the sergeant says, well, come on now, it's time now, up in the morning. Oh, I don't feel like it. I'd rather not today, you know. It's a lovely idea going for that run, but I mean, it's a smashing idea, but why don't I just have a little lie-in today? I was up so early yesterday, and I mean, it just wouldn't work. It doesn't work like that. Oh, no. Well, you don't do that in the army. Why? Because you're disciplined. They've called you to be disciplined. That's what being disciplined is. Well, you see, what the scriptures are saying to us is this. If you want to be all that God has called you to be, you have to employ a discipline, and there's only one person who can do it. It's you. I can't do that in your life. I can't do it for anyone else's life. I can only do it for my life. So I have to do it for my life, and brothers and sisters, you have to do it for your lives. And what I believe is this, for this church to be what God's called us to be and to do what God's called us to do, we have to employ discipline. I believe that he wants us to reach people. I believe that he wants us to reach people in daily lives, to share the gospel in a daily life situation with people. As I've mentioned earlier, that sort of thing, but not leaving it with a decision and a prayer. Saying to people, hey, we meet on Thursdays. We meet on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or whenever it might be in a house group. Why don't you come along and find out a little bit more? And that way, we'll start making more and more disciples. That's what the Great Commission is. And that's what we have to employ. But what it means is, first of all, we have to say, yes, I'm making a quality decision. I am going down that path. When this life is over, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. I want to hear those words. I'm passionate to hear those words. I really feel that. Anyone else with me? Yeah? You want to hear? Well, this is the way to hear that. Because this is the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, guess what? When you're in a church with people from Venezuela, America, Wales, Chile, Mexico, Sri Lanka, India, Zimbabwe, Ireland, Scotland, when you're in a church that has all those nationalities, you can go and make disciples of all nations, because we all know people from different nations. And we can have house groups that have people from those nations in them. That thrills me. That's exciting, folks. But the emphasis has to be on us saying, Lord, help me. I need to be doing this, and I can't do it on my own. I can make the decision, though, but I need the filling of the Holy Spirit, the yielding to the Holy Spirit to do this. Let me share this with you briefly, because we haven't got much time here. I need to jump. I just want to share this. If we're prepared to accept this Great Commission, now let me just ask everyone, and I want you to respond, please, out vocally. Do we accept the Great Commission? I'll ask it again. Those who are shy can say yes this time. They didn't last time. Do we accept the Great Commission?
Yes.
Great. We've got a room full of people who accept the Great Commission. So then, this is what I want to say. A change, and by change I mean if we're not leading people to Jesus now and discipling people, we need to make a change. Am I right? So if as a church perhaps we haven't been the most efficient at evangelizing and then discipling people and seeing people discipled in that way, if to date that hasn't been as strong as we would like it to be in this church, a change needs to take place. Well, this is how we employ a change. Very briefly, change means that we must employ new thinking. In order to employ new thinking, we must start with the truth. We have the truth about the Great Commission. That is a truth that we've decided that we want to follow. That's a change. Okay? We're saying this morning, I want to employ the Great Commission for my life. I want to employ it in a way that I've never employed it before. I want to make disciples. Okay? Are you with me? Do you want to make disciples? Some do, some aren't sure. This isn't the place for switching off, folks. This is the place for engaging. Listen, I'm going to ask the question again. I want you to really engage with the question. Do you want to make disciples?
Yes.
Okay. Now then, keep this alert for just a few more minutes. I'm coming close to the end. But please, stay alert. This is it. The way that you think determines the way that you feel. The way that you feel determines the way that you act. If you want to change the way you act and feel, you've got to first change the way you think. It doesn't happen any other way. This is why advertisers, you know, when advertising companies first started, it was Freud, you know, Freud. His nephew started the first advertising company. And what they, this was way back in the early part of the last century, what they thought was if they sold people, they'd have to tell them the truth, tell them information, and the people would respond to information. What they found out was that people didn't respond to information. People responded to emotions and feelings. So when they wanted to tell, when they wanted to sell cigarettes to ladies, for example, as they did, what they didn't do was they didn't say this will taste very nice as you put it between your lips, and you. They didn't go into all that information. What they did was they showed sophisticated women smoking cigarettes. You know, a scarf blowing in the wind, and a sort of. And women thought, yes, that could be me, you know, and they bought it that way. That's how they sold it. They sold it with emotions and feelings, you see. So they understood how this thing works. Well, we need to be aware of how we work as human beings, what triggers us into the behavior that we have. So if I'm not evangelizing and leading people to Jesus and making disciples right now, how is that going to change? Because if we go out and I say, well, do you feel it? Do you want to lead people to Jesus now? Do you want to do it? Because it's me, you'll be nice and you'll say, oh, yes. But nothing's going to change unless there's a change of thinking. And it's the change of thinking that changes the way we feel. And the way we feel determines the way we act. So if we have a vision of ourselves, and we think of, yes, I can see myself leading people to Jesus. I can see that home group meeting, and I can see new people coming in. Can you see those family members coming in? Friends that you know, you invite them in, they come in, and you lead them, and they follow Jesus that way. And then we can see them coming to church. But it starts with this. You see, you can say, I need to feel like getting involved before I get involved in the church. But that wouldn't work. You can't fight your way into a feeling. You must first change the way you think. So what I'm saying is this. How do we change the way we think? Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's how we change it. What I'm saying is there's no gimmicks. I'm not offering a gimmick. I'm not offering a shortcut. I'm not offering anything apart from the counsel of God and what he's saying. I'm saying this. As a church, we must be involved in the Great Commission. And for that to happen, we must change our thinking and say, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to worship God every day. Ah, but you're tired in the morning. You don't feel like it. Or in the evening. Or I don't care if I'm tired. I don't care how I'm feeling. I'm not going to go by my feelings. What I'm going to go by is my discipleship on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have someone coming later on this year, a dear friend of us. You know him, most of you. His name is Pete Samra. You know, used to be Mr. America, USA bodybuilder. Well, you don't build those muscles in the gym by saying, well, you know, I'll go once a week for 20 minutes. It doesn't happen. No, it takes a quality decision. I saw a documentary of this Welsh bodybuilder. Oh, the discipline. I mean, he's so disciplined. He's Mr. Universe. Now, he's from the same town as us back home, and he's Mr. Universe. Well, the discipline of the man. I thought, if that man can be so disciplined just to be Mr. Universe, I mean, it's good, but it's not as good as the gospel. if he can be that disciplined, this good old boyle from Tletley, if he can do it to be Mr. Universe, surely we as a church, me as an individual, can be disciplined for the gospel of Jesus. Surely this is worth everything I have in life. Listen, my friends, what I'm saying this morning is The gospel and God must go before your job. It's more important than your work. It's more important than any relationship you have on planet Earth. It's more important than money. It's more important than anything at all. First in your life should be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and your commitment to his body. Someone said to me recently, they said, oh, I'm committed. I love Jesus. I follow Jesus. I said, where do you go to church? Oh, well, I don't bother with church. I said, you don't bother with church? You don't go to church, but you're committed to Jesus. No. If you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be committed to his body. It doesn't work any other way. That's the way that he sets it up in the scripture. So then to be committed to God means we're committed to one another as a body. Committed to those home groups when they set up. Committed to fellowshipping like we're doing this morning. And encouraging one another. But my friends, this all starts with that quality decision to say, come what may, God is first place in my life. I don't care what else happens. I don't care. God comes first, and then we'll see what can happen. Now, this is a very strong commitment, but I'm suggesting that we make this commitment. God comes first, and then we're going to see what God's going to do with Living Faith Church. He's called us into this. So this morning, I've just thrown out a couple of basic ideas there. But I believe the sense of the Holy Spirit has convicted us this morning about things. And so let's close with prayer. Everyone's please stand with me. We'll go into more detail this evening and really methodically go through certain scriptures. But look, you've come here this morning and really you're one of those and you just know that there isn't that quality decision that God is first. God before your job, God before everything in your life. God before your family, before your anything else. If that's you now, you need to make that quality decision this morning and say, God, I'm putting you first. I must follow the Great Commission. I must go and make disciples. I must do that. So Heavenly Father, everyone closing their eyes, no one looking around, we're going to respond to God. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we ask that you would cause us to make a quality decision to put you first place in our lives. Father God, that you would be before everything else in our lives and that your commission to us, the Great Commission, would be paramount in our lives. Father, we give ourselves to this today. Now, I'm not going to ask anyone to put their hands up or respond in that way, but you know if you're responding, you're responding to God now in your hearts and in your minds. You just respond to God this morning and say, Lord, I'm putting you first in my life. I'm making a quality decision. Heavenly Father, I ask that these quality decisions that are being made this morning, Lord, I thank you for the support of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in supporting us as we make these decisions of quality for you and before you. Thank you, Lord. And I ask, Father God, that the filling of the Holy Spirit would be there for those of us who are Christians, that filling of the Holy Spirit being an ongoing thing. Thank you, Father God, for it. We all need the ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.